are now listening to the Music Matters Media Podcast with your host, Lisa Hollihan. A show made to bridge the gap between mainstream musicians and artists on the rise. Discovering up-and-coming musicians and discussing all things music. Don't forget to follow us on social media.
What's going on, Music Matters Media family? On this episode, we are super stoked to finally be discussing a record that I put on my most anticipated list for 2024. I'm talking about Justin Timberlake's sixth studio album called Everything I Thought It Was. His new album was just recently released on March 15th, and this beast of an album contains 18 songs, clocks in over an hour and 17 minutes to be exact. And Eric, I am just so incredibly excited to be taking a deep dive into this record because we have been waiting 6 years, believe it or not, for a new album. Man, how time flies, but the time has finally come and we have so much to talk about with all this new material.
Especially because it's been an entire 6 years since we've spoken about Justin Timberlake at length on this podcast.
That is right. It was one of our earliest episodes.
Yeah.
Which, please, if you guys are here now and you are a fan of Justin Timberlake, a fan of his music, please go back and check out our episode. It was very early on in this show, Man of the Woods, and we discussed the tour and we discussed the album on that episode. So please go check that one out. After those 6 years, he gave us this record, Everything I Thought It Was. And Eric, was it everything that you thought it was going to be?
I honestly had no expectation going into it, but I did wonder, since on the last album he experimented with some country sounds and some other sounds as well, I did wonder where he was going to go from there. Was he going to perhaps double down on that country experimentation, or was he going to shift gears? But I'm pleased to see that he returned to his more pop and R&B roots with this one.
Yeah, Man of the Woods was quite the departure from his usual sound. He definitely wanted to take a risk and try something else. But I would also make the argument that, yes, that was his furthest departure he's ever made, but I would also say that very much so he continues to reinvent himself with each record. You had his debut record, which was Justified, and that record was about who is he on his own without NSYNC, following that boy band era and the mainstream success and everything that was a part of NSYNC and the platform that he had and him being a part of such a machine and the history that that band has made and continues to make is just unbelievable. So Justified was about that, stepping out into his own. And then you have Future Sex Love Sounds, which he reinvented himself again on that record. Totally different vibe from Justified to Future Sex. Of course, same foundational base of pop and R&B, but then he started getting electronic and funk and really experimenting into different genres on that record. And then you have the 2020 Experience Part 1 and 2, where he reinvented himself again and he leaned into more of the soul and jazz aspects of that classic sound of a certain time period and really leaned into that during the Part 1 and Part 2 in 2013. And then you have Man of the Woods, as you stated earlier, still the foundation of pop sensibilities, but with that country twang. And then fast forward to 6 years later, here we are in 2024 with Everything I Thought It Was. And to me, this record very much feels like a career-spanning record. in the sense that throughout these tracks, I can pinpoint and cherry pick different nods to each of these different eras that I just referred to.
Throughout these songs, I definitely hear nods to Justified and to Future Sex Love Sounds, and including the 2020 experience. So whether that be because of the production or because of a certain lyric that he uses or the way he sings the songs, you can tell that this album has Justin written all over it, by and by. And it just makes it for just such a fun experience to listen to, because especially if you are a lifelong fan, like Lisa here is, it almost feels like an Easter egg hunt of sorts. You know, it's just so cool to keep a lookout for those tiny references that a lifelong fan would know.
100%, Eric. And before we really dive into the context and the quality of the record, I do want to mention, to me, this was time well spent leading up into this record. This album was made from 2020 to 2023, all the way up until last year. Everything was being written and recorded and tweaked, and everything was coming into fruition back during the pandemic. But he's so meticulous in his craft that he had over hundreds of songs, and then he had to whittle that down to those 18 tracks. And you might look at this record and be like, well, 18 tracks, that's a monster of an album. And then the time clocking in at over an hour worth of music, for me, I appreciate that because we come, Eric and I, from just a different time period. We listen from a different standpoint. And for me, that was also a nod to his earlier work with Future Sex Love Sounds and the 2020 experience, where he's not giving in to the current culture of the sound bites and these little clips and trying to make things go viral and not focus on, oh, this is going to be a good song on TikTok. And he's not focusing on the short attention span that everybody has today. And he's not just trying to have a quick cash grab of a record and a fast hit and something to just take off a chorus, a melody, whatever have you. He's actually taken the time between his last record and this record to fully flesh out these songs and not waver in his craft and his ability to create not only such beautiful music, but at the length that he does. And I like that he's standing firm in that, because to me, it just reinforces the fact that he doesn't chase whatever is trending and popular at the time. He stays true to himself. And I just love that. I love that he's not folding to the pressure of trying to get that viral hit. The music of today, you're lucky if you get a song that's over 2 minutes. On this track list, there's not a song on here that's less than 2 minutes. In fact, the longest song on here goes on for over 7 minutes. But it's very deliberate in its purpose and its messaging.
I think you're 100% right when you say that essentially Justin Timberlake isn't looking for the next viral moment with these songs. He's not looking to create that. He's just looking to provide us with the next wave of hits in his career with this new album. And I really do admire that, because he wants the music to stand on its own merits instead of it just becoming something that takes off because of a certain moment in time.
Exactly. He's not focused on what's trendy right now and what's popular at the moment, because something that I absolutely adore about his music is that it is very much timeless.
Yeah, for sure. And as the people who may have already listened to this album right along with us, you'll certainly find a lot to love about it. Yes, it is a return to his pop and R&B roots, but there's also room for experimentation in there as well. And as we stated prior, you hear the callbacks to his past from the late 90s to the early 2000s. So, in my opinion at least, you hear traces of Sexy Back. You hear traces of Senorita, right? You hear traces of Take Back the Night. Not exactly recreations of those songs, but you hear some of the same building blocks throughout these 18 songs. And I think that not only is it a daunting task to make a double album in general, you know, but to make a double album that holds your attention for the most part is really a skill.
Yeah, and it's so funny that you mentioned that as well, because I feel like when I talk about music with my friends or my family, everything is such single based that listening to an album in its entirety, unless that's your absolute favorite artist, is a complete lost art form to listen to an album front to back. We live in a world today where people don't care about albums. They're not going to take the time to sit there and go through it. They're going to listen to whatever single comes up on their shuffle. If they like it, they'll throw it on a playlist. If not, they'll keep on moving. So even with that, that's also making a statement and standing in your ground of a musician, having that integrity, knowing that you're creating such a piece of art that's going to stand on its own and hold up over time, that you're not worried about who listens to what song or if they listen to it in full or not, because you're so confident in the music itself that you know one way or another it's going to lure people in. And those same people that don't take the time to sit and listen to albums, they just might. And this would be definitely the album to do so, might I add.
For sure. In a culture where everything is either singles-driven or remix-driven, it's definitely refreshing to see an artist put so much emphasis, not just on the couple or few songs that are going to be singles, but everything that is going to go on the album as a whole.
This album was announced back in January, and the lead single from this album was Selfish. And the reason why I want to bring up Selfish before we get into the album as a whole and all these other tracks is because I felt like the choice of choosing Selfish was very much deliberate, in the sense of after the departure and the mixed criticism that he got, the mixed reviews that he got from Man of the Woods, he wanted to kind of put out a song that is very much in his wheelhouse, but also a safe song to come back with. And I really do feel that way, because the song alone is absolutely no indication of what's to come on this record. I don't want the best song off of the record to be the lead single, because that's how you disappoint your fans and your listeners, because then they build such a hype for the record and then the rest of it's underwhelming. So for me, this was the best case scenario.
Yeah, I feel like it's a good policy to keep your audience curious while not giving anything away. And I think that's definitely the best strategy he could have chosen for this album. And to your point, I'm glad that that's something that he did, and I wish it's something more artists would do as well.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. The song was good, but it was good. It's definitely a grower. It had to grow on me over time, and it did. But in comparison to the rest of this beast of an album, Eric, let's get into it.
All right. So overall, it's absolutely a solid album. I love that, as we said, it incorporates elements of R&B and pop, but it also incorporates elements of disco, of funk, of, you know, more electronic-based sounds. He experiments with his voice. He uses autotune. He changes the pitch of his voice depending on...
There's a ballad.
Come on. If you know anything about Justin, he tends to get vulnerable sometimes. So, of course, you had to have that in there as well. And one thing that I really love about this album is that it doesn't go heavy on the features.
You only have 3 features on this record, which are on the songs Liar featuring Fireboy DML, Sanctified featuring Toby Nwigwe, and then the one that everybody was waiting for once they saw the track list, Paradise featuring NSYNC.
You want to talk about nostalgic? I mean, listen, this album was already nostalgic enough with what I had mentioned, you know, the callbacks to his previous work, but you bring in NSYNC.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, let's talk about NSYNC.
Hearing them harmonize again after so long is just pure magic, in my opinion.
Listening to that song, this is going to sound extremely cheesy. The very first time I heard the song, when I played it straight through, I got very much emotional listening to that song. I got teary-eyed because I never thought that in 2024 we would be hearing a serious, I'm going to put serious, song with NSYNC. Because yes, they did join forces last year, but that was for the Troll soundtrack. So you have to understand there's limitations. You're making a soundtrack for a kids movie. You're not going to obviously go to more adult territory when you have those type of limitations. So not saying that that was a bad song by any means, but nowhere near obviously their best work together. But hearing this song for the very first time, my eyes started watering. I got very emotional listening to this song. I could not believe hearing all of their vocals harmonized together. Eric, it just felt like a warm hug listening to that song.
It did, and correct me if I'm wrong, but hearing JC sing, my God, he hasn't lost it.
Oh yeah, first of all, justice for JC, because he was always so underrated in my opinion in terms of what he brought to the table, what he brought to the band, and he was clearly a standout singer, and that man has the voice of an angel. So shout out to JC, and of course the rest of the guys, Lance Bass, Joey Fatone, JC obviously, and Chris Kirkpatrick. Fun fact, how they reunited for this song is because working on the Troll soundtrack and getting them to make a song for that, Justin already had them in the room and he's just like, well, I've been working on this, what do you guys think about this? And that's how he got them all to record for this song and for this album. So absolutely love that. And fingers crossed, I'm putting this out in the universe. I know JT is about to go on a solo tour to promote this album, but to see NSYNC together again going on tour, it might not be 2024, but who knows, 2025, 2026, crossing fingers for that reunion and that tour to happen.
That would be the comeback of a lifetime, and man, you can just imagine what a comeback it would be, what a tour it would be, what just a live show it would be. So I'm right there with you.
I mean, think about it, Eric. In actuality, it's been 20 plus years at this point. Man, do I feel old saying that, but it's the truth. Since they went out officially on tour together and made music officially together for their own band and their own work. So it was just such a nice surprise to have them on here. And it wouldn't be a full Justin Timberlake journey throughout this record, as I referred to earlier, with him having this career-spanning record without including where it all started in the first place, which was with that band, NSYNC.
Absolutely. Even though, yes, NSYNC is definitely a centerpiece on this album, ultimately, this is Justin's baby, and I love that. Even though, yes, he could have depended on the fact that NSYNC was going to be joining him for a song to, you know, be a key proponent to this album, ultimately he didn't do that, and like we have agreed, he let the music speak for itself throughout these 18 songs. And I, after listening to it a bunch, I just want to say that he really stuck the landing with these 18 songs.
What I'm talking about, Eric. That is what I am talking about. I have been dying to record this. I have been listening to this record since Thursday night, where it went from 11:59 to midnight. Ready, set, go. It's New Music Friday. And on repeat, we go.
Yeah, same. I've been listening. I didn't get to listen to it as early as you, but as soon as it was 1 a.m., I've just been listening to this thing on repeat, and my God, it's just earworm after earworm with these songs. I mean, I think that's what I love so much about it. Like I said, it's a daunting task to make a double album, and the fact that Justin is able to keep the listener's attention for 18 songs.
And over an hour long.
Yeah, it just really shows the skill and the dedication that went into this, because I think one of the strengths of this album is that it doesn't get boring because it has so much variety in terms of, you know, different musical styles. Like I said before, there's slow jams, there's a bit of sultriness, there's a bit of nostalgia, there's the classic pop and R&B that Timberlake is known for, and of course there's some experimentation thrown in there as well. And I don't know about you, But personally, I think that the song placement on this is really good.
Immaculate.
He really knew where to sprinkle the slow jams and the mid-tempo songs on this album so that the album could breathe. Despite all of the dancing and all of the foot tapping and all of that. You know, and what I love is that there's not a single song on here where I could say feels like a speed bump, like it can feel sometimes. There's not a single one where I can say, oh, what was that? Or that interrupted the flow of the album a little. No, everything flows really well here. And similar to what I'd said about Ariana Grande's album, I love the production on here. It really achieves a sweet spot on the ears.
Earworm after earworm. Thank you so much for bringing that up, Eric, because of course you knew that I was going to do my research and see on the production side. We have, for some of these tracks, Justin Timberlake reuniting with Timbaland, my man, the famous duo that created Future Sex Love Sounds, my favorite, personal favorite at least, record. So there's that, but also along with, and this is a fun fact for those on the back end for production on some of these tracks, you have Calvin Harris, who is my personal favorite music producer, EDM, DJ, Calvin Harris on a lot of these tracks. The tracks that you feel go hardest in terms of the electronic elements, like Effing Up the Disco and Infinity Sex, and No Angels. Everybody out there can personally thank Calvin Harris for those jams.
Hearing you say that, it makes complete sense, because if you hear Calvin Harris's work within his solo career, the connection to those songs you mentioned is absolutely clear.
And then the songs with Timbaland specifically, you have Technicolor, you have Infinity Sex as well, so that was both of them. That was the ultimate collaboration there with those two producers. You have Love and War, you have What Lovers Do, and you have Paradise.
Well, you know what? That makes it so much better, because, kind of a small spoiler, Technicolor is my favorite song on this album.
Nice!
Yeah.
Nice.
So that just makes it so much better to know that it is a song that was made with a classic songwriting team.
Technicolor is the song that keeps on giving.
Oh yeah, it does. And just to speak a little bit on Justin's voice, I mean, my God. You want to talk about immaculate. His voice is immaculate throughout this whole thing.
That's something that I noticed too, not to be extremely biased, because of course I have nothing but love for his musical output, and I personally just really love and respect him as an artist. But you cannot deny by listening to this record how much his voice has grown and how good he sounds on this thing. And the vocal chops are just insane on this thing.
You read my mind, because I was just about to say that. He sounds way more phenomenal here than he did on Man of the Woods. And I'd be willing to say that his vocals are so fantastic on this album that his voice is what carries some of the songs. Like, just his voice alone is what just makes some of the songs as fantastic as they are. Because he is just everywhere. He does vocal acrobatics on this album. It's so fantastic to hear that, like you said, his time was very well spent in the past 3 years working on this album. And I love to hear, literally hear, the fruits of that labor.
This record is truly phenomenal from front to back in the sense of the production, his vocals, and just really experimenting and dipping into all types of music throughout, sprinkling his influences from each record in his career on this record. And you could just tell that these songs were made with the utmost care and quality behind them. And you can tell that he really took his time to cherry pick what was going to make it onto this album and what was going to be left on the cutting room floor.
Absolutely. Now, these aren't negative things, but they're things I noticed. And, you know, they're just things that I would like to bring attention to, just in case anybody feels the same way I do. This isn't a bad thing. This album is very bass heavy. And That to me is amazing because to me, music without bass is like Reese's Cups without peanut butter.
I love that analogy.
It has to be there. It's been proven that music greatly benefits from bass. That said, though, I feel like what predominates in the mix of this album is mostly the bass. I feel like a lot of the other instruments that were played in these songs, whether it's keyboards or guitars or strings or horns, sometimes they barely sound audible.
You feel like they could be drowned out by the bass?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know what happened, but I don't know if it was an artistic decision or if it was just something that they overlooked, but I feel like a lot of these instruments kind of come and go in the mix. You can hear that they're there, but you don't hear them as predominantly as you do the bass and Justin's vocals. And it kind of makes the songs feel a little hollow because of that.
Like you said before, it's just these little artistic decisions that have made somewhat of a difference.
Exactly. But I feel like that's something that was there throughout the whole album. I really do feel like a lot of these songs could have benefited from a guitar riff here or, you know, a horn section there. You know, just a little extra layer to really give the songs an extra kick and make them pop just a little bit more. And lyrically, I like it, but I wish there was more variety in terms of the lyrics. I do feel like a lot of them either dealt with sex or romance, but just in different forms throughout the 18 songs. And I really wish that, I guess, Justin could have spoken about other things, because it kind of does make the songs feel the same in a way because of that. But, you know, ultimately, the album is so entertaining that the lyrics is something that at least I can overlook, just because it's such a fun album, it's such a danceable album that, you know, to me, lyrics aren't really a deal breaker.
Well, first and foremost, Eric, I do want to say that I can totally see where you're coming from with your critiques for the most part. And I will agree in the sense that everything I thought it was is predominantly a record based upon lust and love and heartbreak and kind of this roller coaster ride throughout with all of these different emotions. However, with that being said, though, I do feel like there are glimpses of some self-acknowledgement, self-awareness, and just about his personal journey, both in his career and in his private life, his family life. You have that on Memphis. You have a homecoming with NSYNC on the song Paradise, which I truly believe it just depends on your interpretation of the song. It could be considered and seen as a love song, but for me, I more so think about it in the context of the band, and from the band's origin up until present day, their story, their journey together, their brotherhood, how far they've come, the impact that they've made on the industry together. And I think it's a beautiful moment for the band. And the last track that I want to point out to kind of counter that argument is the closer of the record, which I like that he did that. He opened the record with Introspection, and then he closes the record with Introspection. And that could be seen on the track Conditions, which is one of my favorite tracks on this record, because I believe that Conditions is not only self-reflection, but it's the epitome of loving, not only loving a person unconditionally, but loving yourself and giving yourself love. And he ends the song with those affirmations, which I think is truly beautiful and such a positive note to leave this record off on.
To your credit, you're right. It's not just that throughout the entire album. I just wish that more songs would have dealt with those themes, like you said.
And with all that being said, Eric, I am now even more curious to find out, what was your least favorite track on this record and why?
Originally, the least favorite was going to go to Memphis, but I decided to rule that out because Memphis feels more like an intro.
I can see where you're coming from, Eric, but spoiler alert, Memphis did make my least favorite off of this record, because even though literally, yes, it is the intro to this record, it clocks in at 4 minutes and 29 seconds, so for me, that qualifies as an eligible full-fledged song. And of course, I'll get into why it made my least favorite from this record, but now I want to find out what made your least favorite, since you didn't feel like this song qualified to be a least favorite.
So my least favorite is actually the song Liar. And it's not because there's anything wrong with it musically. I love it musically, but lyrically, I feel like there's a certain point where the chorus just drags on and it just keeps on repeating itself and repeating itself. And, you know, it just gets kind of boring for me lyrically. So that's why that's my least favorite. But had I not picked that one, then Memphis would have been my least favorite, because it does kind of feel just a little different than the rest of the songs on the album.
I gotta say, I'm pretty surprised that you ended up choosing Liar, because that actually ended up being one of my favorite tracks off of this record because of the inclusion of Fireboy DML. I thought he contributed a lot on this track, and I love his Afrobeat influence. And to me, it brought a different variety to this record as a whole. I thought that their vocals complemented each other extremely well, and I just love the influence of this track and how it contributes to the diversity of the sonic palette of this record. Now, Memphis, on the other hand, Memphis for me as an opener felt extremely underwhelming when listening to the rest of this record. I feel like if he chose Effing Up the Disco as the intro, that this record could have been, in my eyes, in my opinion, pretty much near flawless. From the second track all the way to Conditions, I could have really stood behind that and sat here and tell you straight out, this is a 5 out of 5 star record. For me personally. But with Memphis being the song to kick it off, I just wasn't big on the rap on the back end of the song. It just completely threw me out of it. And I understand lyrically where the song serves a purpose, because it's like a form of therapy. It's pretty much filling us in from the past 6 years, and his acknowledgement and self-awareness of how his name has been spoken about in the media and the criticisms that he has received in general. And he kind of tackles all those things within the song. So it's not necessarily the production of the song for me or the lyrics for me, but that just that rap section just completely I could have done without. That's the section for me that just took me out of the song completely. For me, this is hands down my least favorite song, and if he were to take this off of this record and start with Effing Up the Disco onward, it would have been a near flawless record.
Yeah, I 100% agree, and I'm glad we're on the same page in that regard.
You know how I feel about intros and outros, because the fact that you and I, not only for the show, but just how we listen to music in general, mm-hmm. we are part of that percentage that still listens to albums in full. So intro songs and outro songs are very much of importance to me.
Same. However, I can forgive an intro song being the way this one ultimately ended up being, provided the finale,
yes,
you know, brings it home.
Love the outro. The outro is one of my favorite songs.
Same. And I love that he ended it where it began with the album title.
Yes, I love that. We made a reference back in our Fall Out Boy episode.
Yep.
So Much for Stardust, when Pete Wentz did that with Love from the Other Side, and So Much for Stardust, the song, and how it ends, and how it circled back to Love from the Other Side, and the callbacks in it. And Justin does it here with Everything I Thought It Was. And wow, what a way to end this record. I absolutely love the lyrics, and I love the melody of the song. I love the flow of the song. I love the lyrics more than anything else on this track.
At least in my opinion, lyrically, this song was a callback to Man of the Woods, in the sense that he was being very much introspective. Since we're on the topic of favorite songs, let's name off some of our favorites and see what overlap we've got.
Oh yeah, because let me tell you, more than half of this thing is...
Yeah, right? It's kind of like, what's your favorite songs? Take your pick.
How much time do you guys have?
Exactly. Okay, so some of my favorites for sure, Effing Up the Disco.
Whew.
No Angels, in my opinion, has a sexy back feel to it. Play, of course.
Fun fact about Play, there's an interpolation there with David Bowie's Fame.
Wow. Yes. I did not realize that.
Yes. And now when you go back and listen to it, you won't be able to listen to it and not
I'm sure.
Yep.
Well, thank you for pointing me towards that, because it has to be one of those, you know, blink and you miss it kind of things.
That's an Easter egg, Eric. It's an Easter egg.
Nice. Very nice. So, yeah, Technicolor, my personal favorite song. I cannot say enough about this song. I think this is the ultimate love song on this album. Justin's vocals soar.
So good.
It's like being in a galaxy to me. That's the effect of it. Other songs I love, Drown, Infinity Sex, Love and War, My Favorite Drug. It reminds me of Senorita a little bit when he makes the girls and the guys sing. I love that.
Yes.
Love that so much.
Completely agree. I thought of that immediately when I first started.
Same.
Like, this is amazing.
Same.
What a callback.
I'm happy that he still has that ability in 2024 to really make songs bring you back to that point in time. Other favorites I've got, Imagination, What Lovers Do, in my opinion, has a very 90s feel to it.
It does. That it does.
Of course, Paradise featuring NSYNC. How could you not?
Man.
And as we just mentioned a little while ago, Conditions.
Wow, you know what, Eric? Pretty much like I said, majority of this album, huh?
Yeah, basically.
More than half of this album.
Yeah, I mean, it is just such an earworm of a record. I mean, I honestly don't think that you can listen to these 18 songs and at least not walk away loving three of them.
Yeah, let's get something straight here. This is love-making, earthquaking kind of music. You have extremely predominant disco era influences on here, inspired by, clearly. And then in general, you have that dance music, electronic vibe, along with R&B and pop. You also have a ballad on here. And of course, you can't forget the featured guests on this record that incorporate gospel elements and hip hop elements and Afro beats. And overall, this music was made to dance to. So with that, for me, some of the standouts and my personal favorites are Effing Up the Disco, No Angels, Technicolor, Drown, Liar, Love and War, Sanctified. Oh my
Another
God.
Good one.
That song just takes you straight to church, doesn't it?
It does.
But you also feel like you need to take a shower after. I love it. Love the duality of that. Infinity Sex is another great one. Imagination, My Favorite Drug. That's
amazing.
A fun one. I love Paradise, of course, with NSYNC. Conditions just pulls at the heartstrings. I just love that. I mean, all in all, wow.
Even though I know that I said I had, you know, certain gripes with it, was it everything I thought it would be? No, it was better.
Woo! That's the soundbite, Eric. That's the soundbite right there.
I'm glad you think so.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry if that comes off as corny, but I had to.
No, it was not corny. It was perfect. That was everything I wanted it to be.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, you guys really have to check this record out. Please give this one a listen. Give it your time. It is absolutely worth you taking the time to check this one out, especially if you're a fan. First and foremost, what are you doing if you're not listening to this record? But even those who are casual fans or maybe not fans at all, as Eric said, you would be surprised by listening to this record, because I bet you could walk away with at least 1 to 3 songs and enjoy them and not necessarily even be a fan of him or his music in general in its entirety, but be a fan of those songs.
Exactly. I mean, honestly, this album has everything that you could want in a pop and R&B album, and even more than that. You have slow jams, you've got sultry R&B, you've got ballads, you've got electronic sounds, you have callbacks to his 90s and early 2000s work. It's all there. And even if you weren't a fan of the last record, I guarantee you that you'll find at least one thing to like about this entire 18-track odyssey.
There is something literally on here for everybody.
Exactly. If you don't find yourself dancing to this album at least one time, I don't know what to tell you, man.
So, Eric, with that being said, if you can rate this record out of 5 stars, where would it fall for you?
It would be, for me, a 4 to a 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Wow, even with the critiques that you gave.
Yes, even with the critiques that I gave, that's how good I think that it is. Because, like I said, these aren't things that I necessarily think are bad. They're just things that I think could have been executed a little differently. But when you have an album that is so addicting like this, you can listen to an album with those things in mind and still go back to it and replay it, then it's done its job. And I can absolutely see myself revisiting this album over and over again. So yes, even with those shortcomings, for me it's a 4 to a 4.5 stars out of 5. How does this fare for you? Well, out of 5 stars, what do you rank it?
There's many things that could be said about JT, but one thing that cannot be denied is the immense talent that this man has. And I just loved that he tuned out all the noise and he's letting the record and the music speak for itself.
Amen.
So, I'm glad that you asked me. Out of 5 stars, I am going to rate this album a 4.5 out of 5 stars with potential between now and the end of the year and see how this holds up. But I'm going to rate it a 4.5, potentially 5 out of 5 with the room to grow.
Very nice. That is an awesome ranking, and I really can't wait to see how it holds out for you for the rest of the year. We can't wait to check back in with you guys at the end of the year and see where the chips fall. And I can't even imagine what the concerts for the tour to promote this album are going to be like. I mean, I can already see the dance routines that Justin's going to come up with. I mean, if his live shows weren't electrifying already, I mean, I can't even imagine how much more they're going to be with these songs.
Oh yeah, 100%, Eric. I can only imagine that he's going to pull out all the stops on this tour and he's going to go big. So if you guys have the opportunity to go see him live this year, I would say go for it, because I've seen him live before and he is truly spectacular. My cousin and I, really quick, I want to give a shout out to Brianna before we close out the show, because we tried to score tickets back in January. I tried with all the connections that I have, and she entered in this raffle. It was in New York City at Irving Plaza, and it was a really intimate show promoting this record. And the show happened to be on his birthday, so it was extra special. Unfortunately, we weren't able to score any tickets, but it looked like such a fun time. So for those who scored those tickets, they scored big, let me tell you. And last thing, but certainly not least, I want to make sure that everybody goes to check out Justin Timberlake's Tiny Desk concert. If you have no idea what that is or what that means, type in Justin Timberlake and Tiny Desk into YouTube. It's a concert series on YouTube. It's Justin with the Tennessee Kids, his backing band. And let me tell you, that is one immensely talented group of musicians. And the vocal acrobatics that Justin does in that episode, he just sounds so angelic. So if you're a fan of his music, that is absolutely a must watch. With that being said, you guys, we want to know if you've checked out Everything I Thought It Was by Justin Timberlake. How did you feel about the record? How does it hold up in his discography for you? What are some of your favorite songs? What's your least favorite song? We want to know it all, you guys. Make sure you head on over to musicmattersmedia.com and let us know over there. And don't forget to follow us on social media at Music Matters Media. And we'll see you in the next one.